Happy Theros time. My name's Chase.
What you talking about, Willis? My name's David.
And welcome to the RTR Forward podcast, where we talk about everything RTR Forward. So that's Standard, Historic, Pioneer, and sometimes Brawl. We've got a pretty interesting show to talk about today. We've got Theros Beyond Death releasing this weekend pre-release, and then officially releasing next weekend. But for those people who play MTG Arena, it releases tomorrow. This is being recorded on Wednesday. It comes out Thursday to everybody. I know there was a special little streamer event today. But yeah, so we've got a lot to talk about. Some of our top picks are for some decks that we want to build, and then some of our top picks for some Theros Beyond Death cards that could make impacts in a few of the formats that we cover. So before we do that, little shout out to our sponsor. RTR Forward Podcast is not actually sponsored by anybody, but we like to plug our social media here. So if you want to give us a follow, if you want to catch out when we're recording and some fun little tidbits and some fun polls, you can follow us on Twitter at RTR Forward. And we've also got a YouTube channel. So if you're listening to us on YouTube right now, then good for you. Hit that like button, hit subscribe. I don't know, whatever people on YouTube do. And we're also on Spotify. So if you're listening on Spotify, thank you. Give us a follow. That way you're alerted on Spotify whenever you we release a new episode. So that's my little shout out. If anyone wants to sponsor us, they can.
I just want to say hi, Mom.
Hi, David's mom.
There is no way she will listen to this.
Hi, David's mom. You should listen. David will make you a pro Magic player.
Anyway, so we're going to go into Theros Beyond discussions, but wait.
There's more.
Our friend Oko, Thief of Crowns, has been banned again. This time in Modern. He's, yeah, he got banned hard. So, as somebody who doesn't play Modern, let me tell you. Whenever that BNR announcement came out, on Monday I went up and got on MTG Goldfish, you know, and looked up the tier decks for Modern. Like, six of the top eight had Oko in it. I was like, oh, I had no clue. It was insane.
So they were sliding Oko into every deck that you could, and since this was Modern with fetch lands, you could literally slide Oko into any deck you would. So you had like Burn playing four of Okos. You had artifact decks playing four of Okos. I think you had like human decks playing four of Okos. Just I think there was a Storm deck that played four Okos. Like, yeah. Everybody was playing Oko. You know who wasn't playing Oko, though? Jund. Jund wasn't playing Oko. They didn't want to become wet Jund. They just wanted to be Jund. So kudos to them for sticking true. But the menace of the Modern format, whose name is not Urza, is gone now.
Yeah. So we'll just... Mox Opal and Mycosynth Lattice were also banned. But
yeah,
we're more so just pointing Oko out for the fact that it was banned in... technically five.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, five formats before the next set was even released.
Yeah, Oko has made its track record of being the first card to be banned in five different formats before, while it's only been like legal for like 4 months. Yeah. So kudos to you, Oko. That's what you get for having a broken plus one. But
I think it's because everybody was jealous of his abs.
That could be it too, but who knows? Maybe that's why they killed Gideon.
True. Gideon died for Oko, something like that. I don't know.
Something like that.
But anyway, let's go into some Theros Beyond discussion.
So, we've seen the full spoiler. It is officially Wednesday, January number 15th, I think. So we've seen the full spoiler, and we know what are our thoughts. So, David, I'm going to let you go first. What are your thoughts of seeing every card that this set could release?
So, my first thought is... Thrill of Possibility again?
There's a Friday Night Magic promo version of that card. Did you see
it? Great. But I'm just like, man, I was not prepared for this to be reprinted already.
Yeah.
Is it just the new Tormenting Voice? They're like, Tormenting Voice isn't good enough. We'll just...
Yeah.
We made the instant speed one. It'll just stay in standard forever. I don't know. I guess this doesn't actually affect how long it's in standard because Throne and... Theros Beyond Death will rotate at the same time, but
yeah, just like with Opt, how they printed Opt and Ixalan and Dominaria, and they both rotated out the same year.
I mean, I guess it's more so technically for the limited environment, right?
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. That's Wizards' thing, printing cards specifically for limited.
So what else, David? What else? Than your small complaint with a common
it
card?
It wasn't a complaint. I was just scrolling through the spoilers today, and I was like, wait, what? Already? Well, other than Thrill of Possibility, I'm not super excited about this set.
Why not?
I don't know. It doesn't look like it's going to affect a lot of formats. Doesn't look like the power level's there.
So
against Throne of Eldraine. Imagine that.
So what you're telling me, though, is so Wizards, through their fire philosophy, they said that, you know, they ramped it up. So you think they already fell down the hill a little bit on Theros?
I don't know. It's tough for me to say because I suck at judging cards. But just looking at it, I'm more excited for this set as, like, for Commander playables than Standard stuff. Let's put it that way.
There are a lot of good Commander playables in the set for sure. Do you believe that Theros is kind of falling in the same way as Ixalan was right after? So, obviously, a few years ago, we had Kaladesh come out, and Kaladesh, very, very strong block, had quite a few cards banned from it, and then leading into the Amonkhet block, also, I think had a few cards banned from it as well, was also really strong. The only one I can think of is the red land.
Oh,
I think that was
yeah.
The only, I think that was the only card that got banned from that runes. One. Yeah, Ramunap Runes. And then we kind of jumped into, I think we had M19, or I think that was a year after. No, we just jumped into Ixalan because Hour of Devastation was the summer
set.
Yeah.
Yep.
So Ixalan came out and it was just, in comparison, was just so underpowered and just, you didn't really see any cards from it in Standard at all.
Except for our good boy, Rampaging Ferocidon. Yep.
And, yeah, he did get banned, but I think that was more of a, he got banned for some other cards that they didn't want to ban.
Pretty much.
But who knows? But yeah, no, Ixalan didn't really affect Standard very much. Rivals of Ixalan brought a few things in, but it still just wasn't a very powerful set. So do you think that's kind of where we're sitting right now, where Throne of Eldraine is just so strong that it's just overshadowing?
Yeah, because I think, I mean, there will still be Sacrifice decks running around.
Mm-hmm.
There will still be some Simic decks running around.
Mm-hmm.
There will still be a Fires deck somewhere.
Uh-huh.
Maybe a little less because there's more enchantment hate in this.
There is a lot of enchantment hate in this set.
It may take a hit.
So, like,
but
Mortify has been around for a while.
Exactly.
And nobody's been running it for a while. And we're right off the heels of about to have a really big enchantment set. So that card is definitely going to start seeing play again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think Fires of Invention is definitely going to take some kind of hit. We'll see how it recovers.
We will see. It's just one man's opinion.
You're right. So let's listen to my opinion. I look forward to the set. I'm obviously coming right off of the hype train and the nostalgia train of, you know, that Theros was one of my first sets starting off when I first started playing Magic. So coming back to the same world, being able to see all the gods that I played when I was younger and just being able to experience Constellation again and the devotion mechanic again and enchantment creatures. This has been just quite the trip for me. So I'm really excited about the set. But to a degree, yes, when David and I were kind of looking through, kind of throwing together a few top lists or, you know, top five best Theros cards, we were kind of grasping at straws not necessarily. Like, there wasn't a lot that I thought would necessarily maybe affect, like, Pioneer or Historic. Maybe a few things that could, you know, bridge us into new archetypes and Standard, maybe resurrect a few decks that were good, just weren't good enough because they were missing some valuable tools. But I don't know. I think this set definitely, as of right now, and this set hasn't even come out yet. We've seen a slight streamer event today, and I didn't really get a chance to watch too much of that. But so we don't know exactly how this set's going to impact Standard. So this is just our predictions, just our thoughts. I'm not looking at any live raw data right now, but I think definitely it's not as strong as Throne of Eldraine was at all.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be three cards banned in it within the first month. So, you know.
Yeah, you're right. But yeah, so this brings the question. We've given our opinions on the set, but obviously we're going to make some decks with some of the cards that come from the set. So David, what are some decks that you look forward to building?
So the first one, which is, you know, all new and shiny, and by new and shiny, I mean not new and shiny. Simic Ramp, because I like Simic. Honestly, me, I will probably keep pushing some Simic Flash, but I don't think that deck's going to change a whole lot. So I'll talk about Simic Ramp. So Simic Ramp, you run a lot of the same stuff that it's already been running. Nissa's, Gilded Goose or Arboreal Grazer, depending on what your feelings are on those two guys. You got top end Mass Manipulation, Agent of Treachery, so you steal your opponent's stuff and wreck them with that. But the big additions are Uro, Titan of Nature's Wrath, which is just, I mean, similar to Risen Reef. He helps you ramp, and then he's a big body, unlike Risen Reef later on.
That can help you ramp more.
That can help you ramp more, yes. Actually, that might be the only new addition.
I've seen some versions. So obviously Simic Ramp is going to have several different shells. Obviously it's going to have a lot of its main components, but I've seen some that like run Thassa and like Agent of Treachery just with some like bouncing shenanigans.
Right. But yeah, it's going to be the same basic setup, but add Uro for more ramp. Maybe a Thassa or two to bounce some stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think that deck has a decent chance of being good. So Chase, which deck, I don't know if these are decks that you're excited for, but I guess which deck are you most excited for of decks you've kind of theory crafted?
Okay, so a lot of my decks I've kind of theory crafted, at least I've got a handful here, but we're going to kind of bounce back and forth. But what I'm most excited about is a continuation of Esper Stax or Esper Doom Foretold or Dance of the Mance. I think that this set brings a lot of new tools. Obviously, Dance of the Mance working really well with enchantments and enchantment creatures, just being an X-costing reanimate in a lot of ways. So I think there's definitely some new tools. So I've already been theory crafting. I've been playing this deck a lot recently in current standard. Obviously, not super good. This deck wasn't really affected by Oko because, like, this deck doesn't really make creatures. It just plays a bunch of enchantments, and Oko can't affect enchantments. So I didn't really have a problem playing against Oko. It's just the mana in this deck was just so constrained that, you know, having a double white, double black Kaya's Wrath as your only way to board wipe, or just using Planar Cleansing, which was 6 mana, made this deck really hard to do well against certain more aggressive archetypes. So I think with the inclusion of Shatter the Sky, which is the new 4 mana board wipe, double white and 2, destroy all creatures, and then any creature that is power 4 or greater, their controller gets to draw a card. I think having that, it's easier to cast board wipe at 4 mana. Don't have to worry about committing to making sure I have the right sources in the right time. I think that'll really help it out. There's definitely a lot of new enchantments that will replace some of the enchantments that were already in the deck. So we've got Omen of the Sea, which is the 2 mana flash. They call it the Preordain enchantment because it scries 2 then draws a card, and then you have the ability to sacrifice it to scry 2. I think that's a nice addition, replacing one of the eggs. I call them eggs. They're just the 2 mana artifacts that draw you a card when they come in. I think the Birth of Miletus, which is another 2 mana, it's a saga, so you're not gonna have to worry about this sacking this because it'll eventually go to your yard anyways. But the fact that it can tutor you up a land if you need to find a plains, so you can make sure you get that 4 mana board wipe off on turn 4. It makes you a blocker, a 0/4 blocker, and it kind of buffs your life a little bit. And then the one I'm most excited for is Treacherous Blessing, which is a 3 mana black enchantment that draws 3 cards when it enters. You don't really care about the other two abilities because you're going to be using Doom Foretold to sack it anyways. But the fact that you can reanimate this for 5 mana using Dance of the Mance and being able to refill your hand is definitely something that this deck struggled with a lot. When I was playing this deck a lot, if I wasn't drawing my cantrippers, I was just not being ahead. So this deck really does really well with a lot of card draw. So I think having some elements like these is really nice. So I've also switched out Thought Erasure, which is really mana intensive. You need a blue and a black on turn 2 for an Agonizing Remorse, which is the same thing. It's 1 and a black for sorcery. Look at it in your opponent's hand, choose an online card from it, and they exile it, and you lose 1 life. So it's basically you're giving up the slight amount of top deck fixing for some easier castability. So I really like that card as a good replacement. The rest of the shell is pretty much the same. Got Teferis and got Dance of the Mances and stuff like that. But I'm really interested in seeing how this deck plays out. Still kind of playing with it, but I'll get some kind of deck list out, hopefully on our Twitter. But this is going to be one of the first decks I build. I have most of the tools for this already. It's a pretty cheap deck in general if you have the Teferis. Not a lot of these spells are very expensive, especially coming out of the new set. So, yeah. So what you got for me, David?
Next, which this deck very much intrigues me, is a black-white mid-rangey deck. Unfortunately, the only new card that I think goes straight into it is Kunoros, Hound of Athreos. To remind you, that's a 3-mana, 3/3, Vigilance, Menace, Lifelink, and creature cards in graveyards can't enter the battlefield, and players can't cast spells from graveyards. Seems decent for stopping Uro and a lot of other
cat decks.
Yeah, cat decks. It shuts those down.
100% some of those sacrifice decks.
Going along with Kunoros, it's going to run some Hushbringers, also shutting down cat decks. The very interesting combo that I see with it is you run Hushbringer and Clackbridge Troll. So then when Clackbridge Troll comes in, it doesn't create 3/0/1 goats for your opponent. So then you just have a 5-mana 8/8 hasty boy. But yeah, it runs Mortifies, you know, destroy some enchantment.
Yeah.
Heliod's in there. That's a new card. Another portion of this deck would be gaining life and adding counters, making your guys big. Run some Ajani Primates. So, it's a decent little mid-rangey deck. Runs Rankle, which I love Rankle. Rankle's great.
He's a sleeper. He's been the sleeper. I mean, he saw play for a little while, but then he just got kind of stopped seeing play. But I still think he's just a good card. So pick him up now while he's cheap.
That's the only thing that I will say is good about new sets coming out is it lets like a card come in to give other archetypes some legs to at least jump up into like a fringe tier deck. Yeah, it's probably not going to be tier one, but at least it's competitive, right?
Yeah, I mean, it shuts down some of the like the dominant decks right now with enchantment removal for fires and graveyards locking down the graveyard for cat decks. That already makes it somewhat playable.
For sure. So Chase, what else you got for us?
I've got this is a deck that I don't know. The more I was brewing this deck, the more I was wondering if this deck's even good. This is green white enchantment. So obviously seeing Kalix, which is the new enchantment focused walker, come out, obviously spruces up some brewing in my mind, because he's a build around character and he's really good in enchantment deck because he can pull you enchantments, he can turn your enchantments into, I guess, what they call O-rings or banishing lights, and then he can just reanimate all your enchantments. So that's not just your physical enchantments, but your enchantment creatures as well. So I was very giddy on starting to throw together some kind of green-white enchantments list, and the one I came out with was originally turning into, you know, like it was slightly more aggressive. And the one I have right now is slightly more aggressive, but it's not as aggro as my original design. It has a few mid-range qualities to it as well. But just, I took like all the good enchantment creatures and kind of just shoved them in a deck with Setessan Champion so she could trigger and draw cards and get bigger. Obviously we're running green and white, so I've got 4 Nissas in there because Nissa's just a house and she closes games on her own. So why not put her in there? Got Outside of the Life's Bounty, which is just a 1-mana, 1-white mana for an enchantment creature with lifelink. And then you can sacrifice him and pay 1 and give something protection, a creature enchantment protection. So just a nice little way to stop a kill spell from hitting one of your more important things. Got Daxos, which he cares about Devotion to White. And he gains you life when things enter or die. Eidolon of Obstruction, which is another 2-mana enchantment creature that taxes Planeswalker abilities, which is really nice. And a little bit of mana ramp. I've got Heliod in here as well, since I have a little bit of life gain shenanigans. And he's just a really nice value enchantment creature in general. And then Kalix and some Banishing Lights. And I've got a playset of Destiny Spinners, which just stop your things from being countered. So if Simic Flash or Is It Flash become really strong decks in the format, this card will kind of let the mid-range decks kind of fare against them by stopping their counter spells. So that was kind of my idea for green white deck. This is a little bit of an older incarnation, but I'm definitely going to play with this and test this out as I go along. But I think this could be a good deck. And speaking of, is it flash? What you got, David?
I don't have any flash. What are you talking about?
Is it control?
Is it control? No, it's not. This is very different than is it flash. Oh, although it does run four copies of Brazen Borrower.
Okay.
But yeah, is it control? So Theros Beyond does have a decent amount of good red removal. So the plan is to run some Storm's Wrath. It's a 4 mana, deal 4 to each creature and planeswalker.
Yep, every creature and planeswalker.
Yep.
I assume you're running Niv-Mizzet.
No.
What? You're not running Niv-Mizzet?
No. Some God Eternal Kefnet.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Yep.
There's your top then.
Yep. Eugene will be the win con. Yep. One of them. I mean, Brazen Borrow is probably really the win con in this deck.
Yeah.
A 3-1 flyer, and you just protect it and beat them with it.
So you're going to be running the Is It counter spells too?
Yep. Run some Ionize. Run a couple of Thassa's Intervention. Got to try it out.
Yeah, I think it's a sleeper. I think it's going to be a good card. If control like as a prominent place in this meta, I think that's going to be just a good card in that deck.
Yeah. Run some Rouse Outburst for some removal and card advantage-ish.
Yeah.
It's definitely card advantage. And then got to run a couple of Purphoros' Interventions for those come out of nowhere. Just, here's a 7-1 elemental, beat you in the face.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
So is there a reason why you strayed away from like an Is It Flash variant to like more this isn't traditional control?
Because Is It Flash will run like no new cards. I was trying to get decks with new cards, man.
Okay. Yeah, I don't really know what Is It Flash would add to their decks to make maybe Omen of the Sea, but it's still like a flash scry to draw, but like that's probably not what they want.
Right.
I don't know.
I don't think the flash decks gain a whole lot.
Yeah.
So.
I am excited for Destiny Spinner, though. Being able to make my things uncounterable is pretty good against all these flash decks that keep running around right now.
Yeah.
It's a 2/3, so it's a big boy. Can't get shocked.
Can't get shocked.
Nope, no lightning strike in the format either.
Yep. All right. What do you got next, Chase?
All right. I got one more. I had two more on my list, but everybody knows about Mono Black Devotion. It's a deck. Yeah, We've already seen people play it today.
Let's just sum it up in one card.
Grey Merchant of Azrael, Gary.
Yeah.
He's the reason this deck is back. There's a lot of good cards that came out in previous standard sets that are going to pair really well with Grey Merchant of Azrael and like Nightmare Shepherd and a few cards from this set.
Oh, that freaking 3-mana that's literally 3 black enchantment. I forget the name of it, but go great in that deck. I'll look it up real quick. Talk about your
other... But so everybody knows about Mono Black Twitch. Let's not talk about that. I'm really interested, though, in Mono White Life Gain Aggro. So this is what we were talking about original reveals a few podcast episodes ago. I was talking about how Heliod combos really well with Linden, the queen, the 3-white queen, and like a Johnny's Primate, and just like kind of building a deck that focuses around that has a slightly lower curve. I think that's going to be really good. I'm really excited to have like a white based aggro deck again in the format. Obviously we still have like Venerated Loxodon in the format, which was a mainstay to the previous mono white deck. Most of it has left the format, but so we've got our one drops are the Outside of Life's Bounty, which is again that 1-mana white, just a 1-white for a lifelink creature with a 1/1 that has that protection ability by paying one and sacrificing this creature to give another creature enchantment protection, which is awesome. We got Healer's Hawks, just a flying 1/1 with lifelink for one. We've got Ajani's Pride Mates. We got Daxos, which triggers based off of when things enter or die. We've got the Eidolon of Obstruction, which is just again really good against early planeswalkers. So Teferi comes down, he can't bounce one of your creatures, you have to wait a turn, and by that point Teferi is pretty much ineffective because at that point you're already attacking Teferi and he won't be able to use his ability. Obviously Heliod has that win condition to a way that you're going to be gaining so much life that you're just going to make your creatures continue to grow. And you've obviously got Linden in there. Terranika, which is the one that the 3/3 vigilance for 3 that turns another creature into a 4/4 indestructible. could be pretty good in this deck. And then I've obviously got some Venerated Loxodon. So I'm interested to see how this deck plays out. I think this deck's going to be pretty darn strong. There's just so many payoffs for life gain in this list. So I'm really excited to try this out. Other than the Heliods, it's also a pretty cheap deck in general to build. So if you open a few Heliods.
What about Tithe Taker?
So I like that card, but I don't like it that much. So Tithe Taker is fine. I mean, it's a 2-mana 2/1. Yes, it taxes your opponents if they try to do things on your turn, but that card doesn't see play now. And well, but also white doesn't see play. So
let me tell you, I played FNM for the first time in Throne of Eldraine Standard last weekend, and I was playing a Simic Flash deck. And the only match I lost was against somebody playing mono white and playing that exact card and dropping it on turn two every time against me. And I'm like, well, great.
Yeah. So I think Tithe Taker could be like a sideboard card.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it's like you want, like, if you're playing against like a Simic Flash list, they don't run a lot of Planeswalkers. Yeah, they run Nissa, but other than that, they're not running like Teferis and stuff. So maybe switch out the Eidolon of Obstruction for some Tithe Takers. They're both 2/1s. Fortunately, you're going to lose first strike off of that, but you're still going to be able to tax your opponent when they do stuff on your turn. So yeah, I definitely agree. That's probably a card that should go on the sideboard for sure. But yeah, I think that pretty much sums up our short list of decks. Obviously, there's more decks that we haven't written down here that we're going to want to build and play tomorrow when MTG Arena releases the set and when these cards come to standard or come to paper as well. Yeah. So
that card that goes with Gary, it's Underworld Dreams, 3-mana, 3 black, for an enchantment that reads, whenever an opponent draws a card, Underworld Dreams deals 1 damage to that player. And it's 3 black.
It is 3 black. Did you know that card is an uncommon now? It was a rare.
Wasn't a rare?
Yeah, it was a rare before.
Oh, it's a reprint too?
It's a reprint.
Nice.
Yeah.
I don't know if it will see a ton of actual play, but I could see it seeing some play in mono black just because
I think
3 black.
It is 3 black, but you have Ayara, which is also 3 black, and it's a 2/3 creature.
That's true.
That pings people when black creatures enter, and you can
maybe it's more of a controlling.
Maybe. Maybe. I like your ambition, but
in limited though, you draw Gary in this card, go with it.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially if you're in 2-headed. Oh boy.
Oh boy. Oh, I'm ready to play some Garys this weekend. 2-headed, just drain both opponents for X amount, and your team gains that much. And
yeah.
Just double damage, double duty when it comes to team player games.
Yeah, Gary's good.
Moving on, let's move on into our top fives. So we've talked about some of the decks that we want to build. Let's talk about our top five choices. So we've got technically 4 categories here. One is, you know, the best Theros Beyond Death cards in Standard, the best ones in Pioneer, the best ones in Historic, and then a special little category that we'll talk about at the end. So stay tuned for that one. But we're just going to kind of jump into it and talk about what are our top five predictions for the cards that'll best impact Standard for Theros Beyond Death. And I guess I'll start first. I'll make it kind of quick. I'll shout out the card and then give a little bit of reason on it. So because looking at our list here, David and I's lists are very different. I think in general they share 2 cards, but very different.
Yeah.
My number 5 is Nightmare Shepherd. So Nightmare Shepherd being the 4-mana 2/2 black for a 4/4 flying. I think it's whenever another non-token creature you control dies, you may exile it and then create a 1/1 copy of it that's also a nightmare. So if you're playing it like in mono black, and you want to get some creatures back that have enter the battlefield abilities like Yarok's Film Lurker and stuff like that, this card is just awesome. It's a 4/4 beater for 4 that has flying, so I think this card is just going to be a house in those kind of decks that support it for sure. Then number 4, Uro, Titan of Nature's Wrath, which is the Simic Titan. So I've ranked it a little lower on my list just because I think I was thinking of, you know, where would like Simic, what would Simic ramp cut for this? Because like David was saying earlier, like they obviously have to cut some cards out of the current shell to make room for this 3-mana card. And I know Simic ramp doesn't throw a lot in the graveyard unless they are running the variant that does have the Cavalier in it. So that's why I've kind of ranked it just a little higher, because I'm not sure how good Escape is going to be. It is a big cost.
Yeah.
So, and then number 3, Ashiok, Nightmare and Muse. I love this card. This card, I am eyeballing also building like an Esper control deck and like an Esper hero deck. Because this card, so obviously when Teferi, Hero of Dominaria, rotated a lot, the control Esper control decks and the Esper hero decks take a big hit because he was just such a great stabilizer for the deck. And I think Ashiok in that way kind of fills that role. Also 5 mana. But the fact that it makes 2/3 on an uptick is just amazing. The fact that they are 2/3, though, is really what sets them apart. Just having that extra point of toughness, it just makes them so much stronger at good threats to help you stabilize. So I'm really excited to play that card. I've definitely been seeing some lists float around for a few archetypes that would definitely be taking advantage of it. And then number 2, Shatter the Sky. 4 mana board wipe. Who wouldn't want it? I think this will fit great into Doom Foretold lists. It's going to feel great if there's some kind of Azorius control that comes back, or Esper control. Just having a board wipe that's easier to cast. Yeah, I don't care if my opponent's drawing a card. I'm still wiping his board. Who cares? I don't see the downside of it as that big of a downside. And then number 1, Grey Merchant of Asphodel. I think the fact that this card was reprinted, obviously making Mono Black its own deck again. So this card is definitely going to make a big impact. We're going to see this card in a lot of lists that run black just because of its ability to just life swing so easily. And it's a pretty good body. It's a 2/4, so it's going to be blocking for days. But yeah, so that's my top 5. I'm going to go ahead and pass it to David.
All right, my top 5. So my number 5 is Eat 2 Extinction, which it's going to fight with Murderous Rider. It will. But I think in a pure control shell, it may be a little better. I think you would run like a mix of both Murderous Rider and Eat to Extinction. Exile is going to be somewhat usable. I mean, there's a little bit of recursion right now. So I think it'll see a decent amount of play. Decent amount. Number 4, Clothis, God of Destiny. I feel like there's a Gruul aggro deck there somewhere. And I think it'll just help add a little bit of extra mana to get some extra damage across. Possibly get a Embercleave. There you go. Yeah. Adds mana to get that out a little easier whenever you're attacking. I think it's got some potential. 3's cheating. I've got it noted on here, it's cheating. But the temples, they're going to be used a lot.
You cheater. How dare you? I kept away from the temples. I didn't put them on my standard list because I knew they'd be number 1 because people would play them.
But it's true. It adds fixing. So now every color pair will have the same amount of mana fixing.
No, I agree. It's a great, great choice. And it's going to be very nice for the format.
Yeah. And then my 2-1, so 2 is Grey Merchant of Asphodel, which we've talked plenty about him and what he does. And my number 1 is Euro, just because I like blue and green things.
Yeah, you've been treated very well those last few months by blue and
green. Hey, I didn't play Oko, damn it. I didn't do it.
Pretty sure you own a playset, though.
No, I don't.
You own 3.
I played no Okos in Standard, damn it.
You played them in Pioneer.
And I opened all 3 of those. I didn't buy any Okos, damn it.
Oh, okay. He's an honorable man.
But yeah, and what I will say is I would totally have Shatter the Sky in my list too, but I was trying to specifically not have cards in that shared between my lists of other formats.
I broke that pretty quickly. I definitely have a few cards that I have on the same lists. Obviously, what we're both missing from our standard list is Heliod. Neither of us have Heliod on our list.
I don't think he's going to make a ton of standard.
I don't know. I think just him being 3 mana and him being able to activate his own ability by just having an activated ability on him that can make things have lifelink to trigger him, it might just be enough, but I don't know.
It might be.
I agree. I put Heli on another list, though.
Yeah.
We're going to step on over here to our top. I'm going to change it up. Top 5 best Theros cards in Historic. We're gonna say Pioneer for a second to last. So this is Historic. So basically how I curated my list is I looked at, you know, what are the top historic decks right now. Obviously, we don't have any historic leagues since historic is only like an arena format. But what are some top decks that we see now? And I saw things like Gruul, Azorius Control, Esper Control, Mono Red, Mono White, stuff like that. So I kind of looked at some cards that would really fit well into those. So my number five is Eidolon of Obstruction. So that's, again, the two mana, one and a white for the enchantment creature with first strike. And it has that Planeswalker loyalty ability tax. So he makes your opponents have to pay one more to activate loyalty abilities. So I think that'll slot really nicely into Mono White. That Mono White already has a really good shell. I think that being on a turn two, especially against with, you know, Esper Control and Azorius Control being really strong, being able to counteract their turn three Teferi is really good. Or even a turn five Teferi. The fact that Teferi can't do anything, he stays at four loyalty, you can attack him immediately with your board, is just going to be really good for the Mono White deck. So we might see this them kind of pick up a little bit if they start adding that inclusion. My fourth pick is the Birth of Miletus. So this is that two mana enchantment. Saga, one and a white. First step gets you a plane. Second step gets you a 0/4 blocker. And the third step gets you a two life. So I just think this is going to slot really nicely into those control decks. Just the fact that they can guarantee, if they play this on turn two, that they're going to make sure they hit their land drops. Because obviously that's the biggest thing that you want to do with control is hit your land drops. But the fact that it also can make a 0/4 blocker. So obviously Gruul aggro is another very strong deck in historic. So the fact that you make a 0/4 blocker for those decks on turn three is really nice if you play this enchantment on turn two. And then a little bit of the life buffer, really nice. My number three spot is Clothis, God of Destiny. So I didn't have her in standard. I think, especially with Gruul being so strong in historic, I think she'll definitely make more of a splash there. She'll kind of just slot in. She'll give the Gruul decks some amount of mana generation, but I think what's most important about her is the reach. So the fact that the control decks can't really interact with her, because she'll just kind of sit on your board as not a creature, and then she'll just slowly exile their graveyard and ping them, so for two damage. So I think that is what makes her really good, is that she's just going to be a constant source of damage to help you close out the games against some of the more controlling decks. My number two pick, please, oh please, ban Nexus of Fate, because Thrix, the Sudden Storm, which is that 5 mana, 2/4, 3/2 blue, flying flash, spells you cast that cost 5 or more, cost 1 less, and are uncounterable. And I think he's a 4/5. That card is going to break Nexus of Fate even more than it's already broken. I've stressed this enough, but the fact that he's just going to slot right in those Nexus of Fate decks. He has flash, so you don't have to worry about just tapping out to play a big bulky boy. You just play Slam Reclamation, turn 5, turn 6, or turn 5, throw him out on your opponent's instep, turn 6, cast a Nexus of Fate uncounterable. Just bonkers. It's going to be absolutely bonkers. If people start to realize how good this is going to be in the Nexus of Fate decks, one of those cards is going to get banned. It's hopefully going to be Nexus. And then my number one pick, I'm guilty of using the same card twice. I've got Shatter of the Sky as my number one. I think the Azorius control decks definitely could really benefit from just a 4-mana board wipe. Right now, most Azorius decks are either running Time Wipe and Cleansing Nova, which are 5-mana board wipes. So I think it'd be really beneficial to them to have a 4-mana board wipe as well. So I think that'll also cut down on the color, the restrictiveness of playing Esper. You can kind of take out the Kaya's Wrath and replace them with the Shadow of the Skies. Make it more consistent to be able to cast those earlier in the game. But yeah, that's my top five for historic. What about you, David? What you got?
All right. So somebody who doesn't play a lot of historic, these are complete shots in the dark.
I see that.
Yeah. There's some spicy takes here. So, number five, we've got Omen of the Sea. I just like the card.
It's a cool card. I like the card a lot.
It's 2-mana flash enchantment. We've talked about it already.
It's preordained.
Yeah.
Scry 2, draw 1.
It's great. I like it. I think it could make some waves in historic. Jesus.
Zinger! Yikes.
But then, number four, we've got Storm's Wrath, so a red board wipe-ish. Obviously, red doing damage isn't as good as white and black board wipes.
Yeah, but it's still good, though.
But still good. Next, I got Shatter the Sky, which honestly should probably be number one. But it's just Shatter the Sky is going to be great for white decks that are controlling in any way. Now, it won't see impact in Pioneer because of Supreme Verdict?
Yeah. Which is already 4 mana and uncounterable.
Exactly.
So, it's not going to make a splash in any of the older formats, right. But it definitely won't Historic and Standard.
So, yeah, it's going to definitely make a hit there. Drag to the Underworld. We just need some good removal and Historic, I think. I don't know.
You're saying this is better than Cast Down?
I mean, yeah, it's definitely better than Cast
Down. Oh, yes. So it, if you're playing a black heavy deck, yes.
Yeah.
This card on average costs 2 to 3 mana. So right. I agree.
And then Nadir Kraken. So my idea behind this, Chase is over here laughing at me.
So hold on. If anyone doesn't know what Nadir Kraken does, because we haven't mentioned this card at all, other than like in the reveal season, I think it's 3 mana. It's 1 and 2 blue for a 1/1?
It's a 2/3.
It's a 2/3. For a 2/3 Kraken, I think it's whenever you draw a card,
yep.
You may pay 1 and then put a +1/+1 counter on this creature and then make a 1/1 serpent or tentacle token.
Yeah, tentacle creature token. Yep.
Gotcha.
Yep. So I'm just thinking like a mono blue list. And he's just, you're bored. You just protect Nadir Kraken the whole game.
Protect the king.
Yeah.
Just a mono blue protect the king deck.
Yeah.
This is your only win condition.
Exactly.
I can see it.
It's not the only win condition. No. You'd have like Siren Storm Tamers and Curious Obsession in it still. But yeah, you could potentially make like a weird go wide strategy instead of having a big flyer in Tempest June. So that was like the big beater in mono blue back in the day. But this is more like a mono blue go wide strategy.
So basically what David's trying to say here is, you know how Pioneer, you got the Is It Phoenix decks, and they all were running Thing in the Ice, you know, which is that one guy can be removed, he flips into a big 7/8. Well, see, now a lot of them are running Young Pyromancer, so they can make all those 1/1 flame tokens.
Exactly.
So I see same the track idea. You're on. I see what you're thinking.
Same idea.
It makes sense to me. So yeah, I'm really surprised by your top 5 list, but like you said, you don't really play Historic very much. I play it to grind wins in Arena, because that's where I can play true mono red if I need to get some wins or complete some quests. I either play mono red or mono blue, because that's where they're really good, and they're just really fast aggressive decks.
Let me tell you, every time I play Historic, first of all, I only play Bant Arcbow. Because... yes, that's
because you refuse.
That's my type of magic. But anyway, every time somebody plays one of those stupid Historic cards that were in the Historic anthology or whatever, I'm just like, just bothers me so much.
Yeah, just seeing like an 8th edition card get played, and you're like, I'm playing with cards from 2018.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't want to pay for any of this. This isn't real life.
Yeah. I mean, Historic Anthology 2 was announced with the state of the game recently, so we'll get that later this year. So, looks like the first one was successful enough that we'll get a second. But yeah, no, Historic is definitely its own animal. Very much so, it is plagued by control decks and very fast aggro decks. Not a lot of mid-range in this format at all.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, our next top 5, or...
yeah, somebody threw a curveball and made it a top 3, so then I made it a top 3.
So I made it a top X, because I wasn't actually sure as I was looking through the list what all cards I think would even like be played in Pioneer. And I eventually came up with 3 solid choices that I thought.
So let's do 3 and 2, and then we'll talk about 1 together, since our 1's the same.
Sure. So I'll start. So my number 3 is Shadow Spear, which is the 1 mana legendary artifact, gives your creature trample, lifelink, and +1/+1. With an equip cost of 2 and another ability of 1 mana, target, I think it's target creature or creatures your opponent's control, I don't remember the lingo for that, lose indestructible and hexproof. So I think the rate on that card is really good. And if we do see some really annoying, like, so this card's really good against one deck in particular. It's good against like the Pioneer Boggles deck that's running around, the green white deck. So the fact that you can just make Boggles lose hexproof was really good. There are a few indestructible beaters running around as well. So I think having this card like in the sideboard is really nice, and like creature strategies, or you don't even need a creature because you can just play it as a one-man artifact and then just activate it whenever you're trying to kill things your opponents control, which is just, I think it's just going to be a solid sideboard tech. Maven C mainboard still, because, I mean, it can turn your guy into a beater. So that's my number three. My number two is Destiny Spinner. So weird choice, huh? Well, if you're looking at the meta right now in Pioneer, there are a few green decks being played. There's also a lot of control being played. Azorius Control is actually one of the best decks in Pioneer right now because they have all the great control cards from Return to Ravnica, like Supreme Verdict. They've got Dig Through Time. They've got Bolt Teferis. They just have so many tools. If there's some kind of like fast on the ground creature deck, this card might slot in just to protect their creatures from all these counterspells. I don't know. That was kind of a shot in the dark. I couldn't really think of a lot of things, but I like the idea of this card just being a 2-mana 2/3 that just makes your things uncounterable.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, what you got, David?
Yeah. So right now, at least, so this is more like a local Pioneer thing. A lot of mono-colored decks are actually pretty good right now. Mono black and mono red both being kind of those two mono-colored decks that are pretty good right now. So my number three is Treacherous Blessing, which could potentially help a mono black list. It's an enchantment, right? Three mana enchantment, draw three cards, and then whenever you cast a spell, you lose one life. So it's got a little bit of downside, but you draw three cards and just win because you're an aggro deck. You just need a little bit of card advantage.
Yeah.
So
I could see it.
It's not like a four of instant include. But it's like one of those, include a couple of copies for some card advantage late. But yeah, my number two is Bronzehide Lion. I'm ready for some Selesnya cats, man.
But they already have Fleece Mane Lion.
I don't care. Bronzehide Lion's going to put it over the top.
Okay, I can see it. He dies, someone kills him, and then you attach him to another cat that's maybe a little more valuable, and then you can just make it indestructible every once in a while.
Okay, let's be real. This is not actually going to make a lot of change to Pioneer.
No, it's not.
But it's a pipe dream,
and I want it to. Straws for sure on these. So there is one, though, that everybody knows his name. Everybody knows this guy's going to make a splash in Pioneer. So we're just going to go ahead and mention it. This is a throwaway. Everybody knows this card exists. David, what's the card?
Heliod, Sun Crowned. He's here to make my walking ballista sad. Yeah. And by sad, I mean very happy until they get banned.
Yeah, I'm sad that this card is, depending on, you know, how unhealthy the combo is and how quickly people can assemble it and how effectively it kills on X turn and how oppressive it becomes. And if it starts to, you know, morph the meta around it, then yes, I would be very, very sad to see. I have a feeling that they're just going to ban Walking Ballista because based on what we've seen in the past, the Wizards doesn't like banning their new mythics. So they like to ban other cards instead. So yeah. I think,
despite what we've seen with Oko, they definitely do not like banning their new mythic.
To be fair, Oko pretty much dabbed over the first one, just dodged it real hard when Field of the Dead came through. Almost, could have almost dodged the second one, but I feel like Oko could have got banned a lot earlier in Pioneer too, to be fair. But yeah, I hope they don't ban Walking Ballista because I really like the Black-Green Counters deck. Even though it's not like super good, it's still just, Walking Ballista is like such good removal in that deck. I'll be sad to see it go. But yeah, that's going to be Heliod's going to be the strongest card to come out of that for sure.
Maybe not strongest card, but it will cause the most problems.
It'll have the biggest impact on the format, in my opinion.
Yes.
Out of all the Theros cards that are coming out, Theros Beyond Death cards. So obviously a bigger card pool in Pioneer to work with, so there's definitely a lot of better options that are already in the format, but this one does allow for a new combo. So, and then our thanks for tuning in and thanks for staying till the end. But our final category is our meme card of the set. So this is a card, and it's not necessarily bad, it's not necessarily good, but I'm gonna meme it anyways. And so, David, what's your meme card of the set?
Enigmatic Incarnation. I want to sack some enchantments and go get creatures.
I actually saw, so I was watching the streamer event a little bit today, and I actually saw somebody playing that in like a blue-green deck with a bunch of enchantments, and they just kept sacking like their Omens of the Sea and stuff and grabbing three drops. And
another one is do some Sultai and have Treacherous Blessing. and then just sack your treacherous blessing so it doesn't keep pinging you for one?
I think we could do some shenanigans in several formats with that card.
Oh yeah, it's the same with any of those, you know, Vanifair type cards.
Yeah, like definitely
creature toolboxes.
Not as broken as Birthing Pod, but
right,
still pretty funny, pretty fun little card. And then mine is, yeah.
I'm not gonna lie, I don't even know what this card is.
That means it's a good meme of the set. So my meme card of the set is Haktos the Unscarred. So this is that red white creature that is like a 6/1.
Yeah,
that attacks each combat, and you roll a dice when it enters at random.
Yeah,
and then he has protection from that, and or not, it doesn't have protection from that number, but has protection from everything else.
Right.
I'm excited to just like slam this card into like a red white aggro Boros aggro deck, and just like have like the red white angel that's still in standard.
Oh, Aurelia?
Yeah, Aurelia. Have Aurelia in there, and just like throw some good stuff red white cards in there, and just make like a really silly aggro deck that's probably not good, but I just kind of want to see,
yeah,
how that card plays out. I think it'd be fun to play with. But
I mean, it's definitely a fun card.
100%. I'm just ready to like play it into my opponent. My opponent has like a 3-drop, and then like I have really bad luck, and then I just roll a 3, and then my opponent can immediately block it on the next turn, and then I'm just really sad. I'm ready for that. But yeah, that kind of finishes up our lists for today. So we plan on having these with every set, but yeah. One more thing before we go. We got a pre-release coming up this weekend. David, you plan on attending?
I will be attending Friday night. I will be attending exactly one pre-release due to other commitments over the weekend. I cannot attend anymore.
Sad face.
Maybe not sad face. Like I said, I don't know how the limited environment of this set will be. Maybe the limited environment will be good. But like, for instance, one thing MTG Arena is doing well is they have historic sets that you can draft. So I just drafted some Dominaria earlier this week, and it was fun. I don't know if this may be like an M20 draft scenario. I don't think it'll be
bad. No, but core sets are always just like, yeah, just so generic.
Like, but like Throne of Eldraine outside of drafting on Magic Arena, because, oh God, let's not talk about that.
hold on, reminds me. So today they sent us out emails showing like from Wizards of the Coast about our accounts, telling us what cards we drafted the most.
Was yours Merfolk Secret Keeper?
It was.
Oh my God.
Well, did you see your email?
Yeah, mine was not Merfolk Secret Keeper. Let me pull it up real quick. Mine was a fair card. I think it was Smitten Swordmaster. It was totally Smitten Swordmaster.
I'm pretty sure my third one was Smitten Swordmaster.
Yeah.
But yes, no, I did in fact get one draft where I drafted 5 Merfolk Secret Keepers, and then my rare in the next pack was a Murderous Rider. So you know I played Blue-Black Control, but I did pretty well with that deck.
But yeah, I think it will not be as good paper drafting or Magic Online drafting as Throne of Eldraine was. Throne of Eldraine was very fun.
Yeah, I didn't get to draft Throne of Eldraine. I don't think I ever drafted Throne of Eldraine. I know I pre-released it, but I never drafted it.
It was very fun. So yeah, I don't think it'll be that good, but I think it'll be decent. It'll be interesting.
And when I say draft, I mean paper draft. MTG arena drafted.
Yeah, everybody arena drafted some, and
but yeah,
that doesn't count with the current drafting on arena and the draft bots. And
any card you're excited to open and play with in your limited pool?
Specifically to play with other than Gary.
he's an uncommon. You'll see him a lot less.
Other than Gary. Probably just, I don't know if there's a card that I would just be like, yeah, I want to play with this one. I'm so excited that I got it in a draft pack.
I just want to open a Planeswalker. What's going to happen is I'm going to open Kallax, and then I'm going to shove as many enchantments that aren't good into my deck just so I can use them.
Yeah.
I think casting one of the Titans would be fun.
Yeah, casting like the Titans would be fun.
Like escaping a Titan.
Having any of the gods would be fun, honestly. Yeah.
So, I don't know. Let's hope we get lucky. I will be at the pre-release a few more days than David. We'll be playing Friday and Saturday. I'll be doing two single events and one two-headed event. Looking for a partner. David.
Sorry.
David's usually my partner, but he had something come up. So, fortunately, we won't be winning packs this time around. But, yeah. So, I look forward to it. And we'll definitely talk about how our thoughts about the limited environment next week. I always have a weird opinion of sealed. I prefer draft over sealed 100%. So, we'll see how the sealed plays out. But other than that, I think that pretty much wraps us up for the day. We're running out of time. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's fun playing with the Greek-type gods.
Yeah, everybody have a good weekend and enjoy playing in your pre-releases. And if you're listening to us on YouTube, tell us in the comments below. Tweet at us. Tell us what you opened. Did you open anything cool? Did you have any crazy moments where you did something really stupid and just killed your opponent or killed yourself? I don't know. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Don't do stupid stuff that causes you to lose.
Yeah.
We've got many stories of that. I've got a very funny story of that.
It happens. But yeah, other than that, see you guys later.
Peace out.